You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Fan Club with Isia and Daniel. I'm your co-host, Daniel, and...
Hi, I'm Isia.
That is Isia. I hope everybody is having an amazing Tuesday. I'm having a great time. It's super sunny out in Vancouver. How's your day been, Isia?
It's been good. I went on a run this morning that I think went very well. And I felt really good after it.
That's good.
And then I'm like, I'm going to feel like this for the rest of the day. But I'm not feeling like it for the rest of the day.
Oh, no. When did things start to take a turn?
About an hour ago, perhaps. But that's okay.
That's too bad.
The endorphins can only last so long, you know?
Yeah. It makes you appreciate the endorphins while they're there.
True. Endorphins are real.
Speaking of where things are placed, actually, that was a terrible. I'm just going to, let's pretend that was a super smooth transition. But I was going to try and like make some kind of clever wordplay about everything, everywhere, all at once. But it wasn't coming together in my brain for me. And I feel like now my endorphins are dropping a little bit. But I was going to say, for those who listened to our show last week, we had the lovely guest Samika on, and the three of us were talking about the Oscars, going category by category. And as you may have noticed, towards the end of the show, we were kind of a little bit rushed, and we maybe didn't get to talk about the categories we would have loved to as much, specifically Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Actress. And I know one, not necessarily a point of contention, but maybe just some like differing opinions were had around Best Picture and some of the other ones. And as I'm sure many of you listening know, Best Picture went to Everything Everywhere All at Once. And Isia, I believe you felt that it should have gone to a different movie. So we thought maybe we would take at least some of the show, maybe all the show. We don't know where the tangents will go, but to give our opinions the platform and time they deserve.
Okay. Upon a reflection,
yeah,
I think Best Picture for Everything Everywhere All at Once, I do think it encapsulates, the movie encapsulates the category, which I think, you know, my brain is all jumbled, but
that's okay.
I don't think that's the win that I have the most qualms with for them. I think it's more director and original screenplay.
Okay.
They want original screenplay, right?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so those two wins, I'm like, scrap. And also Jamie Lee Curtis, scrap.
Very much agree. I don't even think she should have been nominated.
But
that's another thing.
I think Best Picture, Key winning, Michelle winning, all great. And I think it was the Best Picture in many ways. You know, it's an extremely popular movie. I can't really think of any other movies that so many people I know not only enjoyed, but like it emotionally touched them. They were like, wow, I've never seen a movie like this. They were like, wow, I love Michelle Yeoh. Who doesn't? I don't know. Maybe it is the Best Picture, you know? Maybe I've changed. It wasn't my favorite movie of the year.
Which was?
I think it was Banshees.
It was Banshees. Okay.
But I do think, you know, in a lot of ways it was the Best Picture, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I've come to peace with it.
Yeah, I'm glad you've come to peace. I'm glad you've made terms with it, or you've come to terms with it. I kind of agree. I feel like even if it's not like, I mean, it's probably my favorite movie out of all the ones that were nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess I would say it's Best Picture in the way that I feel like if you were to try and define 2022 by like, oh, what was like the most exciting movie to be released, or what was the most like impactful movie that had such an impact on everyone, whether it was like a viewer or like other people in the movie industry, I feel like it would be Everything Everywhere All at Once. And then another reason that I kind of touched on last week why I was happy it won is because I feel like it might have some very interesting implications for like the future of what kind of movies win awards, because it's kind of like the first sci-fi movie, definitely the first movie with like a Ratatouille reference and like a butt plug like fight to win Best Picture. So I'm like really curious to see like what kind of movies might like get made now because of this, or like what kind of movies get nominated, and like how do you think like that movie, like Everything Everywhere, will kind of influence cinema and like moviegoers like going forward?
I think that that's kind of what I'm more worried about, because, you know, in a perfect world, you know, an original, fun, emotional movie would inspire, you know, studios to be like, let's, you know, make some more original, or like fund more original projects and like newer directors who like aren't that big. But I think what in reality will happen is that we're just going to get another multiverse movie that tries to be weird and exciting and also emotional that just isn't as good. Like, I think, I don't know, it just makes me think of like the success of Get Out. Yeah. And then all the other like racial horror movies that came out.
Oh, but that were so bad.
That were so bad and had like none of the nuance or care that Get Out had, and were just like awful.
Yeah.
So I think, unfortunately, I think it's more likely that that could happen, where we just get a bunch of like Everything Everywhere All at Once ripoffs.
That is fair.
And I also don't think, I think it was fun to have like a movie with, you know, all these wacky references and like crazy things, but I don't want, I don't know, it's like absurdity only gets you so far, and I don't want like people to try and out absurd each other. And I think what really holds everything together, the movie together so strongly, is like the emotional core of it and how it was just so relatable to so many people, and also just the fact that it's like Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
And Key. I mean, everyone went into it being like, wow, Michelle. Like, she was the draw of the movie, I think, for a lot of people. And then through the movie, we're like, wow, Key is amazing. And Stephanie is amazing. So, like, the...
All those surprises, like, in performance quality, you mean? Or, like...
Yeah, just, like... Yeah. Like, there are so many, like, so many things had to come together for this movie to work. And the copycats will not have those things.
Yeah.
Or it's unlikely that they will, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. Maybe I'm being too cynical.
No, I think that's honestly very fair. One thing that does give me a bit of hope, though, is I don't even know if hope is the right word, but I was reading, I think yesterday or the other day, that Everything Everywhere has officially like made more money at the box office than like Morbius.
Oh.
Which is like a superhero movie. And then I was also like listening to a podcast, and just like, I feel like I've been reading a lot of articles on kind of these relative superhero flops, and like flop is a very relative term, like they've still made money, but like Ant-Man 3, which we talked about a bit a few weeks ago, like is had one of like the worst like second weekend drops for Marvel, or I think the worst one, and then like Shazam 2, which came out a week or so
that
ago,
flopped.
That kind of flopped. So it kind of seems like just being like a superhero movie or like an IP in general isn't necessarily enough to get people to come to the theater. And it looks like moviegoers are kind of having maybe a bit higher standards, even though I would say it's not like these movies have been bad the whole time. But I am really interested to see if like Marvel execs kind of go back to the drawing board, especially since, I don't know if you saw, but like the third in command or second in command, like Victoria Alonso of Marvel Studios, she just like got fired basically.
Oh.
And apparently her name was brought up a lot in a lot of the like anonymous interviews of VFX artists that were like complaining about the treatment. So it kind of seems like there's some kind of like shakeup going at Marvel. And then they also said they're like slowing down the amount of content they're putting out. So that's kind of a tangent from Everything Everywhere, but I, in general, think it's kind of interesting to kind of maybe frame Everything Everywhere All at Once as kind of like a shift or like a turning point in like moviegoers' preferences, or at least their standards, where you can't kind of just give us anything and slap like Marvel or DC on it and expect us to love it and eat it up. And our after movies like Everything Everywhere, or even like Banshees or some of the other nominated movies, we kind of care a little bit more. But what do you think about that? I talked about that a lot. No, you're great.
Yeah, I think that is interesting, and like the relative flop of Marvel movies. Because I guess as long as they make their money back, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But I guess because, yeah, they've set such a high bar for themselves in terms of profit that if they don't reach it, and then I guess like what else are those movies being made for anyways? And I do wonder how much of like the moviegoers like attendance has to do with a lack of just like the sheer quantity of superhero movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
I feel like if they just cut down, they'd be fine. But they just keep on introducing new people and it's impossible to keep up with, and everything's more intermingled and you have to be like a big fan to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is like, no. Yeah.
Yeah, I
agree. Most people aren't.
I don't know how much you've looked into like DC, but there is like basically James Gunn, who did like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and the new one's coming out like in May. He and another guy whose name I'm forgetting are now kind of like the head.
Overhauling.
Yeah, overhauling DC. And like trying to make it different and exciting. So I'm really interested to see what happens with that. But I feel like, yeah, the superhero fatigue that people have been like doomsdaying for years and years, in my opinion, has finally arrived. At least for me, I feel like the excitement is gone, and now I'm looking forward to more like everything everywheres. But so you were saying best director and best original screenplay were the ones you would have liked to see go to someone else.
Yeah.
And who are those people?
Original screenplay, I would have given that one to Martin McDonagh for Banshees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to read that script like a book, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just... And it's like, I think it's a really interesting story. I don't know.
It is really
like,
interesting.
To be unique, it doesn't have to be wacky and crazy and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen... I guess I have seen a movie... I saw a scene from Diary of a Wimpy Kid that was very Banshees-esque. So
what
I guess
was it?
It was like, you know, the two besties and one
Rodney
of them.
Rodney and Greg?
Yeah, and Rod.
Don't call my phone. Like, don't come by my house.
Yeah. Like, whoa, we're this done. Is emotional. Wow.
That movie walked so Banshees could run,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. They set the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Banshees for original screenplay... And best director, I can't even remember who's nominated anymore. I feel like Todd
Field.
Best
director, yeah, it was Todd Field, Martin McDonagh, Steven Spielberg, and Ruben Östlund.
I think Todd or Steven.
Why?
Because I'm literally so brain dead today. I'm like, how do I justify my opinions?
That is totally fine.
I just think The Fabelmans, it was, you know, it was a movie that felt like a movie in the words of Harry Styles. It was just a very...
It was like a movie when you're watching it.
Yeah, I was
like
it was
all
just,
the things
you know,
come together.
Sometimes I'm watching a movie and it doesn't feel like a movie. But
Olivia Wilde snubbed, honestly.
Justice for Florence. But yeah, I just thought, I don't know, it was just such a like grand, like the story is very personal and like, psychological and kind of nuts to me, which is why I really like the movie, but also
Fablemans.
Yeah, The Fablemans, okay. Sorry, but on like a grand level, like it was just the dialogue was very like, I don't know, like the opening scene where he's like, I'm scared, dad.
It's like movies are a dream or whatever.
Yeah, it was just very like movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't think of the right word.
No,
but it
that's
was
fair.
It was
You're
very like it was kind of like a little cheesy and a little like, it was just all, like, very dramatic.
And then it gets, like, less, like, optimistic as the movie goes on, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and, like, the final shot of that movie is, like, greatest, finest shot of the year.
Oh, yeah, like, the little, like, adjustment. Yeah, I really liked that, too.
And I don't know, just, like, the coloring. I don't know.
It is a really, like, pretty movie to look at, especially since there isn't even, like... Like, I feel like it's not a super, like, scenic film in any way. Like, a lot of it takes place indoors or, like, at
the
campsite. Yeah, or, like, a desert, I guess. So, yeah, I thought the way Mr. Spielberg shot that movie, or at least directed it, was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? Do you think you would have given... Do you agree with Everything Everywhere All at Once getting both of those?
Like both director and screenplay?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's kind of... It's hard because it's like... I thought this year, or last year, sorry, was like a really good year for movies where there wasn't necessarily like a clear... like winner in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So like I can see the argument for the Daniels, but I honestly would have been happy with like any of the other nominees, because like Banshees of Inisherin is just so well directed and so well written as well. And I feel like I've said this before, but I think Banshees of Inisherin is like the only Martin McDonagh movie I've like loved. All of them I've kind of been like, oh, mm-hmm. I like know this is a good movie, but I was just like not having a good time for some reason. And this was the first one where I was like, oh, I would literally watch this like again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
I love it so much and it's so interesting. And a lot of that was because of the screenplay. But I don't know. I also really liked... for Best Original Screenplay. I also really liked Triangle of Sadness, if you saw that one.
I didn't see that one, no.
It's very, like, interestingly written because, like, it's split in, like, three very clear acts, and the acts are almost, like, vignettes of their own different movie, but it's, like, the same plot. So I thought that was really cool. And then Fablemans, yeah, I thought the dialogue was great in that. Tar is, like... I don't know. I really thought it was going to go to Tar, to be honest. But
for Best Original Screenplay?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that would have been a good win as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a very interesting... I guess it's like... Because it's a movie dealing with such a like hot topic issue.
Mm-hmm.
And like cancel culture and the internet. But it's done in such a interesting way. And from like such a specific perspective. Where it doesn't turn into, like, just corny
yeah.
cheeseball movie. Or, like, where it's either, like, kids these days or, like, the opposite.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was good. If you described the movie to me, it would have sounded not... I wouldn't want to watch it.
Yeah, really I'm glad I didn't, like, know a lot about it when I watched it because I definitely would have said, like, no thanks.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it was the kind of script where I was like, oh, I know there's, like... There's probably so many offhand things that are completely going over my head, but are still making a lot of sense.
There's nothing there.
I thought you were like gesturing to something, but you were just putting your hand on the table.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, that's okay.
I think we should play some ads and then get back to chatting about things and stuff.
Sounds good. We'll be right back.
To the world. But instead, you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing health care, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Hello, you're listening to Fan Club with Daniel and Isia. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We were just kind of finishing, wrapping up our thoughts on the Oscars from last week. And now we're going to go into our weekly, well, I guess it's not really weekly at this point. It's been like bi-weekly or sometimes monthly, but where Aisia and I each play a song that we've really been loving recently. And I'm going to go first. And my favorite song of the week so far is from the new Eve's Tumor album, which is so ridiculously titled, but I love it. It's called Praise a Lord Who Chews But Which Does Not Consume, or simply Hot Between Worlds. So Eve's Tumor, they dropped their album March 17th, so just this past weekend. I've been listening to the last track called Ebony Eye like over and over again. To me, it's like simultaneously a little gothic but also like triumphant in some way, and I feel like it's a sunny day, and I feel like this is a song I'm probably gonna play while I'm out for a walk in the sun, or if I'm like riding in a really fast car, and I don't know when that would happen, but I don't know, I feel like this song kind of just is one of the best on the album for me. I would definitely recommend it if anyone is looking for some fun, like art, pop, rock, punk, indie type stuff. They're also going to be in Vancouver in mid-May, I believe. So I'm hopefully looking forward to going to see them. But yeah, this is Ebony Eye by Eve's Tumor, and I hope you enjoy.
Hello, you're listening to Fan Club with Isaiah and Daniel on CITR 101.9 FM. You just heard Ebony Eye by Eve's Tumor from their new album, Praise. Okay, let me just pull it up because it is ridiculously long. Praise the Lord who chews but which does not consume, or simply hop between worlds. And the other song you just heard was Isaiah's favorite song this week, which was Wait a Minute by Eddie Ray from the album Eccentric Soul, the Pricks label. Why did you choose that song, Isaiah?
I can't say that I have any insightful reason. I just really like the drums on it.
Solid drumming.
Yeah, and I haven't been listening to a lot of music this past week, so that's just one of the few songs that has been listened to.
That is fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I picked it.
You did. It was a great choice. So Isaiah and I were looking ahead into the future, and we were trying to think, well, we are trying to think currently, like, what would be the ideal, like, Oscars 2024? Because now that, like, the dust is settled, like, the actors, actresses, like, crew, directors, etc., now that they've all been crowned, now we're looking at, like, the slate of this year's upcoming films, and what we think the Oscars might bring for that. And the first thing we were talking about was a potential host for Oscars 2024. Mm-hmm. And I know they don't, like, they would not announce this stuff till, like, months into the future. But we thought it would be fun to fantasize and think about it. So who would, do you think would be, like, the ideal, like, 2024 Oscars host?
I'm not sure. I feel like hosting is really a hard one, and the Oscars are usually pretty boring with their host. I mean, I guess they've picked, like, comedians who have made, like, risky jokes or whatever, but I kind of like the model that other awards show have, where they have the same host for, like, a few years in a row, and I don't know if the Oscars has done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Amy...
I think they've done Jimmy Kimmel, like, at least, like, three times now. Maybe twice, at least.
It'll probably be Jimmy again.
Yeah, maybe. Sorry, continue.
No, it's okay. But Amy Poehler and Tina Fey did the Golden Globes, like, 3 years in a row. I like them mm-hmm. as a hosting duo. And John Mulaney and Nick Kroll did the Independent Spirit Awards a few years in a row.
They were fun.
Yeah. Plaza did a really good... Aubrey.
Whoa. Wait, is it Aubrey
Which
or
one's
Audrey?
Drake and which one's...
I can't even remember. Aubrey is Drake.
Okay, Audrey Plaza, I think.
I think it's Audrey.
Yeah, Audrey Plaza. Yeah, okay. Anyways, Audrey Plaza, she hosted Independent Spirit Awards once, and she was pretty funny. I think she'd be
a
good...
Oh, it's Aubrey Plaza. Wow.
So sorry, Aubrey.
Interesting.
She should host it. I think she'd do a good job.
At the Oscars, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah. Do you think, like, the people that are usually at the Oscars would be, like, fun enough to, like,
it's
get
It's the same
her,
people as all of these things. It's just, like, the tone is slightly different, but it's the same people.
Yeah,
it's just, like,
fair.
A bit more bougie.
That is fair. So you think Aubrey Plaza?
Aubrey Plaza, yeah.
Okay.
That's my answer.
I would want, like, a woman host, I feel like. I feel like that'd be fun. And I feel like a female comedian... of some variety. So
be
I feel
careful
like,
what you wish for.
Oh,
we're just gonna get Amy Schumer or something.
Oh, okay, yeah, I don't want that. Actually, I didn't hate her last SNL episode. But anyway, I feel like I don't know. I really liked because was it last Oscars that it was like Regina Hall, Amy Schumer, and I can't remember the third person.
Yeah,
it was
I think,
like a trio.
Yeah, true. They may have shared it.
Yeah. I did like Regina Hall a lot.
She'd be a
yeah,
great choice.
I feel like she'd be a really fun Oscars host. Or like Janelle James. I was watching her
True.
Like monologue for like the Writers Guild Awards for some
yeah,
reason last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen that. I've also
yeah.
watched that video.
I feel like she would be fun. I don't know. I just, for some reason, I feel like a black female comedian would bring like the humility to the Oscars that it needs.
Yeah, they should get Nicole Byer.
Oh, Nicole Byer would be
fun.
Or
really
no,
they should
fun.
Get Z-Way to do it.
Z-Way would be so fun.
That would be funny.
Yeah, she would be really fun.
Okay. No one would get it, though. Like,
no. All of them would be scared for their lives.
Their humor is too new, I think. And it would just go over the heads of so many people because it's
yeah.
so hyper-specific and, like, sarcastic.
I would love to see her on the red carpet at least, because you know how like Amelia from Chicken Shop Gate mm-hmm. has been doing all the red carpets. I'd love to see like Zee-Wei yeah. on the red carpet.
No, it's like everyone. Yeah, no, I'd love it too. They
but
should.
You think people would like run away from her?
I just think she'd go up to people and be like, "How many black friends do you have?"
Yeah,
and their PR people would be like, "Who? How dare you?"
Yeah, can't answer this.
But that I think in a perfect world that'd be amazing.
Zee-Wei would be a red carpet correspondent. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big brain. Okay. Next. Who do you think some of the like big nominations would be? You mentioned on the break Color Purple, and I think that like there's no way someone's not getting nominated for like an acting award, you know?
Yeah.
For that, like Cynthia Erivo, I feel like that's like.
Is it? I don't even know if it's her in the.
Oh,
remake,
no.
Because she did the play.
She's in
or
Wicked. There's two, like...
Oh, yeah. There's also Wicked.
There's two movie musicals being remade right now, and I get the casts mixed up. the guy fair. From Euphoria, the, like, the...
Angus?
No, the, like, Narcotics Anonymous, like, her sponsor. Domingo Coleman. That's an actor.
Isn't Coleman Domingo?
Coleman Domingo.
Yeah. I really like
Coleman
him.
Coleman Domingo's going to be in it.
In Wicked or The Color Purple?
The Color Purple.
Oh, okay.
And
could see him in both, but
yeah. I can't remember Color Purple.
The Color Purple in front of me, I have here Danielle Brooks, Halle Bailey, Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah, Taraji P. Henson's already gotten two nominations. And did she win for Hidden? No, she hasn't won.
I think so. I don't think she's won,
but she's been nominated twice, so I feel like she'll probably get nominated again. The Academy loves her.
Oh, wow. I didn't know she was 52. Random, but she looks really good for her age. But yeah, I could see that. Do we think Wicked would be, I feel like, best song, maybe?
Yeah.
If they, like, came up with a new one.
Yeah.
Like, best original song.
And Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande. It's, like, a pretty stacked movie. There's, like, a lot of people in it. I think Luca Guadagnino. He hasn't really gotten much like Oscar attention since Call Me by Your Name.
Yeah.
But his new movie is gonna have Zendaya in it, and that guy from The Crown who played Prince William, and that guy in West Side Story who played the guy
that looks like John Mulaney.
Yeah.
I think his name is Mike like
Feast.
Feast. And then I think you're thinking of Josh O'Connor from
yes.
The Crown. Yeah. That movie looks really interesting because I just found out what it was about like the other day. And essentially, I think Zendaya plays like...
Tennis?
Well, she plays the wife and the coach of like a famous tennis player or something. So she is like the coach for her husband, who is like a good tennis player. And she signs him up for like this like special challenger event to kind of like get him out of a rut. And then they find out that he's going to be competing against... Zendaya's like former lover.
Oh.
And I feel like knowing Luca Guadagnino, like the movie will end with like the
gay.
Two. Yeah, it'll end with
yes.
some gay stuff.
Yes.
Like the two.
The man who gives us what we want.
Yeah, the men will be having some kind of intercourse. So that was a weird way to say it. Shout out to Luca
for
that.
Giving the people what they
yeah.
want. Yeah, I think. So maybe that.
Maybe that one.
Get Zendaya her Oscar, first Oscar nom?
Yes, I would love her to get her first Oscar nom.
And Yorgos Lanthimos is doing another movie with Emma Stone.
Oh, is Barry in it?
Who?
Barry Keoghan?
Oh, Barry Keoghan. I don't think so. I'm not sure who the rest of the cast is, but I mean, Elizabeth Coleman got her Oscar from the Yorgos movie. And I think...
Olivia?
Yeah.
Okay.
From his last...
Oh, The Favorite.
Yeah, did I say Elizabeth?
I think so, but that's okay.
Olivia, I'm so sorry. She's Queen Elizabeth in The Crown.
Ah.
Connection. but yeah, so I think Yorgos, hopefully he gets a bunch of attention because I love him. He's one of my favorite directors, and I'm really excited to see what him and Emma do together again. Do you think Ari Aster will get anything?
I don't know. The thing is, so I feel like... I mean, A24 has won several Oscars in the past, but I feel like Everything Everywhere being, like, kind of a weird movie has maybe, hopefully, like, opened the gates for, like, more weird stuff. based on the trailer for the Ari Aster movie, Beau is Afraid, it looks like it's going to be very odd, very peculiar. And I feel like there's kind of some Oscar, like there's some Buzz. Oscar royalty attached to it because Joaquin Phoenix is starring in it. So I could, I mean, if it's a good movie, I could see it. It is like 3 hours apparently, which seems unnecessary, but I'm excited to see it and I'm very open to it. So I could see like a, I could see a screenplay nom. I could see like a best acting nom, maybe directing nom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like Everything Ever All at Once is very like at the end of the day, pretty optimistic movie. And like the emotional core of it is very like nice and soft and gushy.
It's a crowd pleaser.
Crowd. So I don't know. I don't like knowing Ari Aster, it's going to be not chill.
Yeah.
So
I feel like
we'll see how people respond to it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like one thing that you just brought to mind too was like, even though Everything Everywhere was maybe on the lower end of like box office wins of 2022, it was still like a pretty big like box office success. And I feel like with Everything Everywhere being nominated and then winning, but then also like Avatar and Top Gun were nominated, which were like the biggest movies of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's like, do you think that sets some precedent of like what'll be nominated next year, like based off the box office? So like big movies coming to mind are like I can't even say it with a straight face. Fast and Furious 10, which I don't know will be, I don't know if it'll be nominated, but like
no
I'm assuming
way.
That's gonna make a lot of money. There's what else is coming out? Can't think of anything else, but
I think it'll like it has to be attached to legacy in some way.
Yeah,
like Avatar and Top Gun both have like a lot of like James Cameron just has a lot of
Oscar clout.
Yeah, he just has a lot of clout, and like Avatar won Oscars when it first came out, the first one, and Top Gun is like big nostalgia and like Tom Cruise nod. So I think if there were to be like, I don't think, you know, we were meant talking about a John Wick and like,
yeah,
I don't think they're gonna, but maybe Dune.
Maybe Dune, yeah, Dune part
Villeneuve is Oscar guy.
Yeah.
He's been nominated, has lots of, I mean, Oscar nominee as a lead.
And Dune did win a handful of things. I don't know if he was nominated for Best Director for Dune. Was he?
I did not think so. But I love Dune. Dune's great.
Yeah. So what do we think like Dune 2's chances would be?
I think pretty good. Honestly. I don't know.
You don't know? There's also what was I going to say? There's also like Barbie, Oppenheimer.
Yes. Oh, Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
That's an Oscar.
I could see like it's Best
gonna,
Picture, Nom.
That's
like,
going to be the movie that wins that everyone's like, ugh. Wait, is Nolan doing it?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan.
Okay.
Yeah. I really like Killian Murphy though.
Cillian Murphy.
I really like him.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him too.
I like him a lot. And I don't know. I feel like Nolan movies always have some crazy cinematography. So like a Nom is probably a lock for that. And then I feel like Barbie, because it is like Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. I could see like a best adapted.
He's part
screenplay.
Of it.
He's writing.
Oh,
it.
He's him on and, the writing team.
Yeah, him and Greta are co-writers. Sorry.
Yeah, and Margot has not. She hasn't been nominated before, but Ryan has.
Yeah.
And a lot of star power, and it's Greta Gerwig.
It's Greta Gerwig
and Noah Baumbach. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
What do you think about that movie, by the way?
Like, Barbie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm
it's
so
like
excited
made in
to
a lab
it.
For me. I love all the like random people that are gonna like Issa Rae is in it and
yes,
Chuti's in
I
it.
I love Issa Rae.
And like
there's never enough Issa Rae.
I love
movies.
Greta. I don't know. She's great.
And like Oppenheimer coming out on the same day.
Double
Neither
feature.
Movie. Yeah, double feature.
We should try and plan that.
We should try and do a little like fan club episode where we just talk about Barbie and Oppenheimer for the whole time. But I could see both of those getting some noms, especially with Greta doing like Little Women and Lady Bird and getting some acclaim for that. And then Noah Baumbach with Marriage Story, which if I'm not mistaken, I think was at least nominated for Best Original Screenplay. Might have won.
Yeah, Adam Driver was nominated, I think, for Supporting Actor. And I think Scarlett, too, was nominated.
Scarlett was nominated for Best Actress.
And
yeah.
I think Laura Dern was nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
I think she won.
Oh, awesome.
I think she might have won.
I really like that movie.
Yeah.
Okay, what Who's someone that you like need, who think needs an Oscar like right now?
Like immediately?
Like immediately.
Top of mind is Angela Bassett, just because.
Yeah.
Angela Bassett.
Did the thing.
She did the thing. Multiple things.
She did a lot of things.
She did a lot. I feel like I would love to see like Brian Tyree Henry win something. I don't know if he's even going to be in any movies this year, but I was really happy to see him nominated for this year's Oscars. I would love to see like Jonathan Majors like pull something crazy.
True.
Like any of that like millennial generation of like black like entertainers, I feel like I would love an Oscar for them. What about you?
True. I think Jonathan Majors is a really good one. Mm-hmm. I think he will get an Oscar one day. He's just too good.
Because Daniel Kaluuya already has one, which is like so crazy.
Which is awesome.
I'm so happy about that.
Best actor too.
Yeah.
Not supporting. I think Saoirse Ronan has been nominated. She's so young. But
she never won?
She's been nominated like 4 times.
Oh, wow.
She's like my favorite Oscars loser. She just keeps losing. Like she got nominated for
Lady Bird.
She got nominated for Little Women. She got nominated for
Grand Budapest or no?
I'm not sure. But the one where she immigrates to New York, Brooklyn. She got nominated for Brooklyn. And I don't know. I feel like I've been a Saoirse fan since I was a little child.
What was like the first Saoirse movie you saw?
I saw I Could Never Be Your Woman. It's a rom-com starring Paul Rudd and Michelle Pfeiffer. Very good.
Oh.
And it's about an older woman who's like, I don't know. She's like middle-aged, works at a film studio, and mm-hmm. Paul Rudd's a young actor. Not grossly young, just a younger actor who's working on her set, and he's like, I like you, and she's like, you're too young for me. And Saoirse plays her daughter. She's like 12 in it.
Oh.
But her character is really cool, and I thought she was so cool when I was a kid.
Should I watch it? Is it a good movie?
It's a good, solid rom-com. I think one of my favorite, like,
slice chill of life rom-coms.
No. It's very, like, of its time.
Okay.
I don't know. But it's chill. It's just chill. A nice, chill, you know, brain dead movie. Like,
okay.
Good rom com. It's not like artsy or anything. It's It's just about a guy and a woman
doing falling in love.
Fall in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Okay. So, Saoirse, who else do you think needs an Oscar?
I'm thinking, who are the people? Okay, Amy Adams and Glenn Close both have a lot of nominations, but
Amy Adams has never won.
Yeah, she has like 7 nominations.
And then she went and did that Enchanted sequel.
Yeah, she don't care.
So
she's
I
awesome.
Feel like she's not care.
I think she's always been like chill. She's a real movie star.
Yeah,
you know, there was some discourse around this because Florence Pugh was saying how she didn't want to do basically like a rom-com kind of movie. She's like, I like doing intense stuff. I don't want to do like a rom-com. She said, I don't want to do like a Nancy Meyers type of movie.
Wow. I feel like she'd be so good in it.
Yeah, she'd be great. And also like, what is she talking about? She was in like Black Widow. Like, isn't that like a silly movie?
And like Don't Worry Darling was very silly.
I guess but the role is serious.
Deeply unserious film.
But yeah, people are like, you know, true movie stars do everything, like Amy Adams, because she does whatever.
Yeah, I like that about her. I'm trying to think who else I would like to see win.
I mean, Denzel already has an Oscar, but I think he should get another one.
Yeah.
Or maybe
I did
he
really
has
like
two?
Him in Tragedy of Macbeth.
I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good. It's him and Frances McDormand.
You didn't like him in it, though?
No, I did.
Oh,
I
okay.
Did.
I thought I was like, whoa.
Oh,
Critical
no.
Daniel.
I liked him in it.
I don't know.
Ooh, the guy, I'm forgetting his name, but the guy in The Green Knight and like Slumdog Millionaire.
Dev Patel.
Yeah. I would love to see him win an Oscar.
He was nominated for Lion, but he just he's in enough things. He hasn't gotten enough projects.
And Riz Ahmed, I feel like, just because I've really been wanting to rewatch Sound of Metal because I didn't finish it. But I feel like he would be a great Oscar winner. So I don't know. Any directors that you think are like...
Yorgos. Give Yorgos his Oscar. Give give, I mean, Cuarón already has like two, but give him another one because I love him.
Who, sorry?
Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, okay.
I just love him. He can get more Oscars. Give Harmony Korine, actually, don't give Harmony Korine an Oscar.
That'd be so chaotic, but I'd kind of love that.
What's her name? She directed Zola.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Which also, I thought that was a really well-directed movie.
Yeah, I feel like maybe not yet, because I guess she hasn't done that many movies, but...
Janissa?
Yeah.
Janissa Bravo?
Yeah. One day, she will get her Oscar.
I'd love that.
I just be naming people.
No, that's fair.
But I think Yorgos would be awesome. I love him. And, yeah, that's my... Oh, I think I want Michaela Cole. She's going to get her writing Oscar eventually.
Yes, Michaela Cole. Writing. And she is so good.
She's so good. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, yeah. What is she writing?
I don't know what she's writing right now, but Indiana she Jones. Wrote Fleabag. And she helped with Indiana Jones. She helped with Star Wars. She was supposed to do a movie with Donald Glover, but they had creative differences, so she dropped out, which was a big bad day for annoying people
i.e. ourselves.
Yeah
Well, it sounds like a pretty good 2024 Oscars.
Yeah
Okay. Should we play some ads?
Yes, we shall.
We'll be right back.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
How'd it go? Are we down with them?
No. They must have seen you.
I know that you're not too.
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a f***ing dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Fan Club with Isia and Daniel.
Yo.
We only have a few minutes left for our episode today. And if we're being completely honest, it's a bit of a...
We've exhausted all of our thoughts.
It's a bit of an empty brain day. We have something cooking for next week, though.
Yeah.
Big, big feature on vampires and vampires in culture.
Yes.
But that's happening next week. So.
That's next week with a special CITR legacy guest.
Yes, one and only Dora Duber will be joining us on that one.
I wish I had my soundboard so I could play the air horns that I found, but... Pew, pew, pew. Imagine that for
pew,
Dora.
Pew, 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 Dora Duber. We'll be on next week, which is very exciting. Until then, Daniel, do you have any thoughts or
any parting
feelings?
Thoughts?
Or anything of the sort?
I mean, and I'm sure you are too, Isia. I'm very excited for this Sunday because it's Succession Sunday.
True!
The weekly holidays have returned.
True.
I'm so excited to see what the Roy children get up to because they're absolutely so messy and chaotic, and I love them. Ted Lasso Season 3 started last week, and I thought the premiere was like pretty solid.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, maybe if you watch, or if we watch along, we can be doing like weekly Ted Lasso and Succession like check-ins or something. They're very different shows.
Yeah, one's like so annoyingly optimistic, and the other one's just depressing.
So
I love both.
Annoyingly,
though.
Yeah, I love them both. And then I really want to watch Swarm. The new show that has like Donald Glover behind it, and I've heard like Dominique Fishback is really, really good in it, so I'm really excited to see that. But yeah, I don't know, there's like some good music coming out. this week and then into April. But yeah, good time to be an annoying person who loves lots of different kinds of pop culture. What about you, Isaiah?
I would agree. Very excited for Succession. I wonder if anyone, do you think anyone's going to die this season? Put in your prediction now. Who's dying?
I don't think Kendall is dying. I feel like
that's too depressing.
Yeah, I don't think Kendall's dying. I could see, honestly, I don't think anyone will die. I could see Logan having another like health issue, but I don't think he's going to die. But I don't know. What do you think?
I think Logan, I guess Logan dying is too easy.
That's what I mean. Like, it all seems too easy. And yeah. Also, I mean, we should probably save this for our Succession segment / episode. But did you hear that, like, a lot of the actors on Succession didn't know it was the final season until, like,
yeah.
They were reading the last
like
episode.
Like, Sarah Snook didn't know until the table read. I mean, I think it's good that Succession's ending. Too much of a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's never good. I think if they just kept on going, it would get bad eventually. And we don't want that.
We don't want
that. So I think four seasons is a solid amount of time. You know?
Agree.
Good rewatch material. So I'm happy it's ending. But I am very curious to see how they like finish
Wrap
off.
It up. Yeah.
And I'm interested, because I haven't seen any of the new Ted Lasso, what's going to happen with Nate, because he's evil now.
Yeah, evil he has gray Nate. Hair now to signify his wickedness.
Yeah, that is so funny. That's like one of the, honestly, Ted Lasso, Nate, craziest descent into being a bad person. I don't know. I was like, oh my gosh.
Craziest character arc ever from season one till now. I mean, there's only one episode out, and I think the second one comes out Tuesday or Wednesday, so you definitely have time to catch up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to be leaving off a little bit early this week. But thank you so much to everyone for listening. We're going to be back here next week at 2 p.m. talking about vampires in pop culture. It's going to be me and Daniel as usual with special guest Dora Duber. This has been Fan Club on CITR 101.9 FM. And
bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She said, well, she